Log Talk Radio.
No, no, no. Oh, yeah. Just do 4-4. Hello and good morning. I'm Dr. Jim Weaver. I'm here along with Hughes Kraft, who should be joining us in a minute, and our other compatriot and co-host, Dr. David Sanford, is in a remote, undisclosed location. So Hughes is here with us. Hey, Hughes, are you there?
Hello, Jim. Hello, everybody. I hear you. Yes.
All right. And we started out there with The Farm Song by Megan Jo Wilson. Megan Jo Wilson has a special connection to the show, which we'll disclose at some point, but not at this time. And so, Hughes, here we are with our first live podcast.
Show,
yes.
Right?
Show. Exactly. So
really big show, as Sullivan would say.
There we go. So we'll be here, hopefully, every Monday morning to start the week out right, or to, you know, figure out what went wrong last week or even before that. And we'll be having various topics and various guests. And, you know, get in touch with us and let us know what you would like to hear and where you would like to go with that. So, and what guests you would like. The topic this morning is who should divorce? And I've had a number of clients over the years who talk about just getting through the holidays. And then they don't want to disrupt the holidays, but they're thinking about getting a divorce. So the question comes up, what should they do in order to make that decision? How much contemplation? What kinds of things ought to be factored in? What kinds of things constitute something that can be worked on, and what constitutes something that can't be worked on? So, Hughes, you...
I'm still here. I'm just thinking, you know, who should divorce, but also thinking about the holidays, and it's also...
Right.
When you should get divorced if people have been contemplating for a while. So, you know, it's a very,
right.
very complex topic and subject with a lot of different angles that people approach it on.
Right, and we're gonna figure it all out in a half an hour, right?
Of course, you know. That's why we're here.
That's right.
for the divorce expert.
Yeah,
well,
that's right.
With the spirit of helping people, I mean, if that is their ultimate decision to get divorced, how to move through that in a mindful, respectful, productive way. I mean, it doesn't necessarily need to kind of fall prey to conflict and spending lots of time and money with lawyers, et cetera, to turn it into a heavy process for people,
right.
too. My guess is, Jim, that, you know, come January, February, there probably is an uptick in people putting that word on the table for the relationship, you know, after they get through the holidays and start thinking about, you know, the year ahead and the resolutions. Maybe I don't know. I've never seen any statistics, but my guess is probably post-holiday, that is more of a topic for people.
Yeah, I also think, you know, it has to do with it being winter, and you're sort of closed up together. People are kind of more depressed during the winter. It's cold. It's dark. All of those kinds of things, and so. Hopefully we can have some callers in here in the not too distant future who might be thinking about that. If not,
right.
we'll have to just, this is our first show, so we may not have a big audience yet. We'll see what happens.
And we certainly don't want to chase people away by thinking that, you know, to call in for how to get a clean divorce. I mean, our
right.
job is for people to be happy with their lives, and we all for people having a discussion to keep their marriage alive and well. If
Exactly, exactly. I mean, you know, maybe we'll give some people some ideas or some tips about, you know, what to do and what to work on. So I think it's both. Whether you're, you know, have really made the decision and you really have put a lot of work into it and you really have good reasons for wanting to get divorced, or you're still on the fence. One of the things I find with people is that a lot of people don't even know how to ask for what they want and even know what they want. So sometimes it has to do with figuring out what you want, knowing how to ask for it, knowing how to have a productive discussion. A lot of times discussions turn into, you know, anger, shouting matches, defensiveness. And one of the hardest things is when you want something from your partner, how to bring it up so that you don't engender defensiveness on the other side.
So this isn't like once of like, I want chocolate cake for dinner.
Right.
Those aren't the kind of needs you're talking about. You're talking about like more like psychologically, emotionally, relationally based needs that I don't think a lot of people have a lot of experience or conditioning knowing what they are even sometimes.
Right. Right. And that's one reason why you might need to look into some exploration of who you are, what you want. You can do that through journaling. You can do that through therapy. Sometimes you can do it through couples therapy. Sometimes a couples therapist can, you know, have you both there and get in touch with what's going on. And like you say, it's.
That sounds like a lot of work. No, that sounds like a lot of work. You put me to work, man.
That's right. that's what we need, a lot of work. I think relationships are work, and I think that's a misconception with a lot of people. I think that they think that it should come easily. It should come without work. If it was really right or you're really in love, there shouldn't be any work.
Hold
the part
down.
That isn't any work. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just thinking that Hollywood live happily ever after syndrome.
Right, right.
We have all these models and expectations that, oh, there's my perfect mate, and I'm going to live happily ever after.
Right.
Doesn't work.
The only thing that's not work is falling in love. Man, that is fun. But that doesn't last forever. In fact, it doesn't last. I think the statistics are that it doesn't last much more than 6 months. So that really being madly in love kind of thing. And then you start to say, well, wait a minute, what happened? And whose fault was it that it went away? Or is there a fault? Or is it that I just don't love this person? And then you sort of struggle with that. I don't think people know the other part where it starts to get, as you say, to be hard work.
I wonder if there's any callers out there who are listening who would love to chime in to this conversation with any questions or any thoughts on their
behalf. Yeah.
That'd be great.
I don't see any on our board. So we'll just have to people who are listening, which is great.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So we'll keep going. One of the things that might be important is to, I mean, sometimes you can journal and just start writing about, you know, how you're feeling, what you want, what's going on out there, what's going on in there, and start to get some idea of. Where you're coming from, you know. So
that is a huge question. It changes over time too. I just want to be respectful of that.
Absolutely, yeah. Excellent point.
Sometimes.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I think one of the things that happens in relationships is that resentments build up, and you harbor those resentments. You don't know how to talk about them. I think one of the important thing is you got to talk about them.
Right.
Another important concept in terms of talking about them is what's called a soft startup. You know, if you wait until you are so tense or intense or angry or emotional about it, and you start with a hard startup, you automatically put the other person into a defensive mode, and then you're off to the races. You're not.
Don't bring a baseball back to the conversation kind of deal. You know, a soft startup would be.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe bring some flowers or something. To
right. And then also bring up the subject softly. You know, you say, you know, honey, I've got something I need to talk about. And you know, this is hard for me to bring up. And, you know, I don't want to have you get upset about it. But I'm needing to talk about some things. Is this an okay time to talk about it? Of course, the other person's going to get anxious already. You know, you're bringing up a subject that is not that pleasant, or is, you know, some negative stuff. So you try to keep it as positive, as solution focused as you can. One other important aspect is to talk about your feelings, not about, you know, what the other person did or what they should do or whatever, but this is how I'm feeling. This is how I feel when these kinds of things happen. And there you can engender care, concern, sympathy, empathy, and you go from there. One of the soft startup is a concept that I got from a guy named John Gottman, who has written books on relationships and has done a lot of research on relationships. And one of the things he would hook people up with all kinds of wires, and then have them in simulated living situations talk about their issues. And one of the things that he found was that any time either party, didn't matter which one, any time either party, if their heartbeat got above 100 beats a minute, which is not all that fast, that nothing productive happened in the conversation. So it's important if one of you, or if you notice your partner is getting agitated, you can actually even take your pulse, and if it's over 100 beats a minute, find a way to relax. You may need to take a short break, or you may need to take a long break. But you know, when you get to that point where the feelings are getting intense, the heartbeat is getting above 100 beats a minute, you can keep talking if you want, but nothing really productive is going to go on, and so you're just wasting your time, and you're entitled to waste your time if you want to, but you got to know that's not going to be a good idea or productive. In fact, you may be digging yourself deeper and deeper holes.
Geez, Jim, I almost envisioned kind of like this place in the house where couples have a ritual space where they can kind of go to work some conflict out or some differences. That I always like the word difference versus fight or conflict.
Yeah.
But I could almost like envision, you know, some biofeedback material to hook up.
And, right.
No,
yeah. You might wire yourself up every time you go to have a conversation.
Well, I mean, you continually see a move towards mind-body medicine in this country, so it make almost sense to. But you may kind of look really silly. You know? Maybe that would help the conversation too. Everybody.
Well, I tell you, looking silly, yeah, right.
Woody Allen and Sleeper, you know, with all his wires out of his cap on.
Great.
Oh, well, I wonder. You know, I wonder if there's people out there who do some of this stuff, and have some feedback for us, we're taking calls, or just press the I want to join the conversation button there on the computer and chime in.
Yeah, just like we ask you to be gentle with us because this is our first time, we promise to be gentle with you. So if you want to call in, if you've got a question or a comment about what we're talking about, obviously you can be as anonymous as you want, and we'll go from there.
We're just a bunch of darn guys. That's the thing to remember.
Just a bunch of darn guys. And as you know, if you join us a little late, our other darn guy, David Sanford, is at an undisclosed remote location, in which he's been challenged in terms of trying to get connected with us. So should we tell him what the undisclosed remote location is? Should we disclose it?
I'm having some feelings about it.
Well, this is a place to share. I mean, maybe we could role model for people about sharing.
I'm take the corner of my office and talk to them.
Undisclosed location.
Right.
Hope you're having fun, David. And if you're
listening, really. I hope David's listening. In. Yeah. Yeah.
Is he okay?
Yeah.
Well, I'll let
go ahead.
Let the cat out of the bag.
What's this? Right. So, let's go back to divorce. One of the things that it can be helpful or harmful is getting input from friends or family, you have to be careful with that. I think you have to assess where your friend is coming from. If your friend is divorced, then they might be sort of inclined to nudge you towards getting divorced. If they're married, they may really be wanting to protect the institution of marriage and nudge you in the other way. Yeah,
or if they don't like your spouse, they may not.
True.
Be the person to go check in with. I mean, so
it's
an interesting one. I don't really think that much about that, Jim, but that's a good angle. Getting some feedback, some advice from folks. I tend to walk lightly in that area because people do have their opinions and their judgments and have a maybe way of swaying you one way or another. So I guess maybe I could, get some advice but not actually live by it. Kind of put it all into the computer and see what comes out.
Yeah, but I think it's awfully hard to do it on your own. It's awfully lonely to try to work it out by yourself.
Oh yeah.
So
It is. Well, that's another angle too. It is a very isolating, lonely pursuit. It's not something that it's a heavy hardship. It means a change of how you're living. It's going to have an impact on those in your life. If you have kids in the family, and in this culture, there's some shame around it. Out there, there's not a lot of support around moving into that process either. So it is.
Yeah.
Tends to be a little isolating, so I think it's good advice to go out and get some feedback, or at least have some people to check in with along the way to make sure that you're balanced and healthy and not get too much into a corner all by yourself.
Correct. Yeah. So, the other tough thing, obviously, and I think it's hard for a lot of people, is if you got kids. I think that's a huge factor. I think a lot of times for dads, it's going to be I'm going to be out of my kids' day to day lives if we separate, if we divorce, whether it's your idea as the dad or it's your wife's decision. That factors in. I think a lot of people stay into marriages, maybe sometimes too long. Maybe it's actually a good reason to stay in, but maybe sometimes too long. for the kids.
Yeah, I go back and forth on that. I mean, there are, I think, a lot of couples who do hang in there for the kids and present as a unified front. Then the kids go to college, and then it's like parents are heading in either direction. And then there's
right.
couples who just are having a hard time being under the same roof together, and the kids
right.
don't like that. And is that healthy for the kids? You know? So I think it's a
really no, that's
case basis.
Yeah, I think it's not healthy for the kids.
No, I don't
you know,
think so.
And
they're watching. They're watching and learning.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's been some research on that, and there's been some controversy about it. I can't remember the woman's name, but you know, it was I don't know, about 5 years ago or so. She did a book on the effect of divorce on kids, and she was saying it was quite negative. And there are people that you know disputed her research, and so the controversy has gone back and forth.
Yeah, and then there's that process too of like, if we're moving towards divorce, how and when do we include the kids in that discussion?
No, excellent question. Yeah, you have some. Yes.
Do you tell them at the 11th hour, or do you tell them right up front when you're considering it? You know, and
yeah.
That's a hard piece.
It's a very difficult question. I got any ideas on it? Yeah. Yeah, you. None, okay.
No, I think, you know, you get, there's a lot of different angles, as I just said, and I find that you don't want to wait till the last minute to tell the kids because they need some time to warm up to it, too. And by the time the kids do find out, you know, the parents are like, well, how do you feel about that? And they need time to process, too. They need time to be a part of the process of divorce. And if you've definitely made up your mind to move in that direction, the kids need to know as soon as possible. Not, you know, like, oh, guess what's happening next week kind of deal. Because that's a real disrespect for the kids, and they lose trust, you know. But
right.
If you're going back...
And it's good not to get them in the process too early, you know.
Right, exactly.
Especially if you...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, especially if you're not sure, and you know, it's like you get them all upset and excited, and then you say, oh, never mind.
Right.
You know, and like you said earlier, right, you know, today I'm feeling like getting divorced, so I'm going to tell the kids. Tomorrow, not so much.
Or that other angle, you know, your mother or father, they're just a jerk, and I'm going to divorce them. You know, and that's pulling the kids into your side, and...
That's the worst. Absolutely.
Lateral
yeah.
damage to the whole thing too. So you really need to keep them in a safe place relative to the garage that can go back and forth. No distress.
Right.
So how are we doing for time, Jim?
Well, we've got about 5 minutes left, and you know, we've had some guests. I mean, some listeners who have hung in there for quite a long time. So I hope they're hanging in because they're getting something from this. So if it does stimulate some questions or some comments for you, you know, you can always email us here at the show and later, and that will be helpful. And if you're same thing, if you're listening to this, archived, that you're not listening to it live, and this show is coming to you canned. You can also email us, and we would love to hear from you, and we would love for you to you know, to tell your friends if this has been good and helpful to you, or if you think you know, you have some friends who could use it. So we try to. You know, we try to bring something helpful, and if you think it might be helpful to someone else, let them know about us. We're here every Monday morning at 10 a.m., and we're here 24/7 archived. So, you know, our shows as we produce them will be up on the board there. And there for you. So you got here today. You know how to get here. You know how to have your friends get here. It's blogtalkradio/2-create. So that's great. So how should we wrap up? You know, David is our wrapper-upper. And
really, so, still, I have not moved from you, David.
Yeah.
You are listening to
this. All right.
I hope it's dark and tight and cold.
Really? If he's not listening, I'm going to be hurt. I don't know about you.
I miss that darn guy. How's that?
Yeah.
So just wrap up. I maybe to put a plug in too for next week's show. Jim, do we have a topic for next week yet, or are we just going to extend this one out?
You know, we don't. We you and I have failed to collaborate here on what the topic is next week. So we will do that. It'll be posted up real soon on the board in terms of what it's going to be, and join us next week. So we look forward to it. I don't know about you, Hughes, but I'm having fun with this, and I think it's gonna get better and better. So,
all right. Well, thank you for being, and we'll see you next week at 10.
Okay, and I'm going to get us out of here. We're gonna have us taken away by Megan Jo Wilson singing "Take Me Away." Thanks, guys. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Evening, we get together. Long day at work, you leave behind. My bones are aching, your back is tired. Hold me close and let the pain unwind. And we walk together down the street. We used to walk so many times alone. And you take my hand, put it in your jacket pocket, and we listen to the cold. But the morning winds won't keep us down.
So we have... That was good.
I was pleased.
Yeah, we got some more to do, but yeah. How many people were tuned in?
I think at any one time, I think there were four people tuned in.
Really?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You just always say there's people there. There's not. You know what I mean?
I know.
You know, perception is a what kind of thing.
Right. So you want to pick a topic for next?